A note to the listener. The following story contains some adult content and language.
This was her last stop before she was killed. And somebody knows something or somebody saw something.
Enough.
And I will not leave here without their names.
I would caution you to be very careful, Mr. Briggs. Your overconfidence is skating dangerously close to stupidity. Only one man has ever spoken to me in that tone of voice without consequence, and the only reason I let him off the hook is because each and every word out of his mouth on screen made me more money than the last. But your words are worthless. So change your goddamn tone, and fast.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce you to the president of Classic Pictures, Mr. Leonard Shaw.
From Vox Populi and the Los Angeles Herald, this is The Angel of Vine.
My old heart ain't gaining no ground because my angel eyes ain't here.
Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you once again for joining us. Okay, so before I play you the meeting between Hank and Leonard Shaw, we have a bit of ground to cover so that we can understand who Hank's dealing with. And the story starts farther away from Hollywood than you might think. At one point in time, Fort Lee, New Jersey, was actually considered the film capital of the world thanks to a man named Thomas Edison. You may have heard of him. Now, one of his contributions was the invention of the earliest motion picture viewer called the kinetoscope. But his even greater contribution was his desire for notoriety, control, and ultimately, power. Edison hoarded so many patents over movie-making technology and equipment that it was almost impossible for anyone to produce or distribute a movie without his say-so. He also went as far as to omit the film's credits in order to avoid attributing monetary value to any of its players. What's the saying? Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely? Something like that? Remember that for later. So, while the men in New Jersey were fighting over who would die with the most money, a 15-year-old boy in Brooklyn by the name of Leonard Schuster sold newspapers to help his impoverished family. His father worked in a tobacco processing plant while his mother cared for his two younger brothers. No doubt a difficult life, made even more difficult by his father's sudden death. Now the sole support system for his family, Leonard pulled up his proverbial bootstraps and went from street corner newspaper salesman to errand boy at Carl Laemmle's first company, located in the Studebaker building in Times Square. That production company became what we now know as Universal Studios. True story. It was at pre-Universal that Leonard met a man by the name of Daniel Albright, one of the many producers who worked with Laemmle to challenge Edison's stranglehold on the industry. The story of their meeting goes something like this. One morning in the presence of Laemmle and Albright, Leonard reacted to a photograph of Mary Pickford and blurted out, "Who is that? I've seen her before. I'd watch that girl do anything." A light bulb goes off. Laemmle and Albright look at each other. What if it's the actor and not the movie that the public want? And it was there that the star system and star power were born. So, love him or hate him for it, the origin of celebrity culture came from Leonard's lurid adolescent thoughts. Now, Laemmle already had the wunderkind Thalberg as his assistant, so Albright hired Leonard as his. He began grooming Leonard for production and even moved his family with them when Albright Classic Pictures migrated west. Once in California, Albright suggested that Leonard change his last name to something sharp so that no one will ever forget it. And so Leonard Schuster of Brooklyn, New York, became Leonard Shaw of Hollywood, California. Shaw was a very quick learner, and Albright encouraged him and implemented many of his ideas. Shaw knew a good script when he read one and recommended projects that garnered success. He also had an incredible eye for talent and took an interest in building that talent, in creating Albright's movie stars. Since social hobnobbing was inherent in that process, people got to know him, and they genuinely liked him. And because they liked him, they wanted to come work for the studio. Leonard Shaw made Albright Classic Pictures more popular and more profitable than ever before. And after only 4 years, Daniel Albright made Leonard Shaw his partner. But power tends to corrupt, remember? So while Albright sat happily in his office counting money, Shaw began to position himself as the face of the studio. This eventually led to Albright's downfall. Daniel Albright found himself at the center of a very public scandal. It involved a sexual encounter with an actor by the name of Jack Lawrence, who was under contract at the studio. Now, back then, in order to protect their image, almost every studio held their actors, directors, and producers to what was known as a morality clause. Among its many restrictions, one caveat specifically stated that you couldn't be openly gay or bisexual. So when the news of the affair threatened to derail his efforts, Shaw had Lawrence banned from the lot. He acquired Albright's shares and had any trace of the Albright name removed from the studio. Everything Albright had worked for crumbled, and overnight, he disappeared from Hollywood. Now, here's something interesting I found. It may be a reach, but I don't know, you tell me. In an interview done shortly after Albright's death, his son revealed that his father was in fact gay, but had always vehemently denied the affair with Lawrence. Albright maintained that he met Lawrence only once, and that was the extent of their contact. His son's theory is that Shaw was the one who leaked the false story in order to force Albright out. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Enter Leonard Shaw, the monster. From that point forward, Shaw ruled what was now Classic Pictures in proper dictatorial fashion. His employees were overworked, underpaid, and his for the abusing. I mean, we heard Irwin Fogelman say it himself.
He's a prick. Sadist. Huh? He's mean just for the sake of being mean. Gets his kicks humiliating people.
Shaw appeased only the stars who made him barrels of money and threatened to end the careers of those who didn't. But once he had another success on his hands, he would turn on the charm and start doling out praise to make everyone feel important. And they did feel important. And so they forgot. They forgot that they were shaking hands with a monster. In my research, I came across a quote of Shaw's, which I think represents his values perfectly. When Casablanca won the Academy Award for Best Picture, the studio had Jack Warner, who had nothing to do with the making of Casablanca, rushed the stage ahead of the movie's producer, Halbie Wallace, and accepted the award himself. At the governor's ball that evening, Shaw told Hedda Hopper, "That's the only time I've agreed with anything Jack Warner's ever done. That said, if I'm Wallace, Warner's getting a couple of teeth knocked out tonight. Hey, I'm just here for the circus." I'm pretty sure that Hank Briggs didn't have any interest in the circus. All he wanted was to know who Marlene was with the night of Shaw's party. The night that she was murdered. This next tape I'm about to play for you has not been edited in any way, shape, or form. It is in its entirety, exactly as I heard it the very first time.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3. It's Friday now, 3:20. Driver's early. Off to meet Leonard Shaw. Here goes.
Beverly Glen, huh?
Good old Beverly Glen.
I'll tell you, the houses on St. Pierre sure are tucked away.
Tucked away on St. Pierre. Beverly Glen, St. Pierre, Nimes Road.
Hey, thanks. You didn't have to get that for me. Imagine if I couldn't open my own doors. Phew, that is a big house. Well, yeah, you got me here, but am I gonna get lost once I'm inside there? Holy. You sure Eisenhower doesn't live here? I am running the wrong racket. Oh, hey, I didn't catch your name. Nice to meet you too, pal.
Adler, you do not know that he's sick. You got it?
Got it.
And you only have 10 minutes with him.
Okay, Jesus. Everyone is so friendly around here.
I'm serious.
Yeah, that's what I was implying. I already told you I'm not going to take up his time. Now, you going to let me in, or do I have to yell at him from here?
10 minutes.
I was told, Lois, two staircases would look better than one, but she didn't go for it. Ah, come on, Doc, not even a smile.
Been a long day.
All right, suit yourself.
Follow me, he's waiting for you in the great room.
The great room. Did you tell him how we met?
Not exactly. I told him that you waited for me outside the lot.
What'd you tell him about me?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I gave him your card, assuming that that would be the end of it, and yet here you are.
Yet here I am. God, will you look at all that green? Must take him forever to mow. How big is this place?
9 acres.
Not for what?
Come on, keep walking.
Well, thanks for making this happen, Adler. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, don't thank me yet. Mr. Shaw, this is Private Investigator Hank Briggs.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Shaw. Thank you for...
Take off the fucking trench coat.
Pardon me?
You look like an idiot. Well, who do you think you are, Bogart? You're not. He died in January, so show some respect. Take the coat off and sit down. Adler, get him something to drink. What do you drink? No, wait. Let me guess. Scotch whiskey. Eh? Adler, get him a scotch. Neat. You know what? Make it 2. His nose looks a little red.
I'm okay, Adler.
Don't be rude. Just get him one, Adler.
This is a very nice home you have here.
A very nice home? What is that Betty Crocker shit? Of course it's a nice home. It's goddamn lavish. Did you expect less?
No, I just...
Hank, are you nervous? You look nervous. Is it my size? My cane? I hope it's not this old cane of mine. Disregard it. It's only to discipline the help. Hank, I'm kidding. Lighten up. Hey, that second scotch might help after all. Are you pouring it or distilling it? Jesus.
Sorry. The bottle is almost empty. I had to open a new one.
Now shut up and just give him a drink already.
Thanks, Adler. You've got some very interesting pieces of art here, Mr. Shaw.
Thanks. Which? That? No, that's not art. That's called a kinetoscope. A peep show machine. An antiquity of the film world. That's from a friend with a bent sense of humor. Anything else you'd like to admire before you tell me why you're here? The books? The piano? Actual art?
Not specifically, no.
Nah, you didn't strike me as much of an aficionado. So what brings you here today, Mr. Hank Briggs? What the hell is so interesting about little old me?
First off, Mr. Shaw, thank you for agreeing.
Jesus Christ, what is this thank you horseshit? That's the second thank you. I heard the first one. I just ignored it. Not so bright, this one. Let me be frank. I don't care why you're here. Only you do. So either spit it out or get the fuck out.
A woman by the name of Marlene Marie Evans, the Angel of Vine, worked here the night of March 17th, 1956. That was the last time she was seen alive.
The Angel of Vine? Work here? No, I don't think that's right.
I'm fairly certain it is, Mr. Shaw.
Oh, fairly certain? Wow. Well, if that's the case, then why are you asking the questions and not the police?
Because no one knew she was here.
No one?
Nope.
Let me give you a little hint, Mr. Briggs. Call the caterers. They're the ones who do the hiring.
She wasn't with the caterers.
Yeah, I was told you had a few questions, and yet you still haven't asked any.
I think the person who killed her may have been one of your guests.
Still not a question.
Who was at your party that night?
Ah, there it is. You see, that wasn't so hard now, was it? So, you want to know who was at a party in this house
A year and a half ago?
I know it was a long time ago.
What a colossal waste of my time. Are you insane?
Mr. Shaw, obviously I don't expect you to remember offhand.
Then what is your suggestion?
Was there, I don't know, a copy of a guest list maybe, or a...
A guest list? No, there's no guest list. What do you think goes on here? That we announce people as they enter? That I have servants who break out the silver and fine china? What, place cards? Huh? Seating arrangements? People come when they want. They eat with their hands. There's booze and music, and sometimes more than one somebody falls into a pool with all their clothes on. It's a hell of a good time.
Well, then just tell me the regulars.
Everyone. Everyone attended my parties. I'm Leonard fucking Shaw. Your woman is just a needle in a haystack.
I'm sure she was here.
Yeah? Then how'd she get here? Huh? Who'd she come with? You said it wasn't the caterer, so who the hell was she working for?
I can't tell you that.
You can't? Get the fuck out of my house.
Not until you give me some names.
Hey.
This was her last stop before she was killed, and somebody knows something or somebody saw something.
Enough.
And I will not leave here without their names.
I would caution you to be very careful, Mr. Briggs. Your overconfidence is skating dangerously close to stupidity. Only one man has ever spoken to me in that tone of voice without consequence, and the only reason I let him off the hook is because each and every word out of his mouth on screen made me more money than the last. But your words are worthless. So change your goddamn tone, and fast.
Mr. Shaw.
You know what? You don't have to change a thing. Silly me. I do remember now. There wasn't a party. Not March 17th, anyway. Maybe March 16th, or maybe the 18th, but definitely not the 17th.
What?
I must have been out of town that day. No party, no guests. You see, nothing to be concerned about.
You think this is funny?
Hank, sit down.
A woman's dead. The killer may have been in this house, and you think this is something
Hank,
we should all be laughing at?
Shut your goddamn mouth, Adler. Nobody asked for your opinion. And I certainly don't need him in order to shut your yap. I didn't bring you here to answer any of your questions. I brought you here to show you just how insignificant you are. But she was here. But she was here. Well, show me some fucking proof. Otherwise, I can only assume that you're just another dick searching for Hollywood dirt in the one place you damn well shouldn't be. That I'd be dumb enough to give you any? You accidental detective. Oh, that's a good stare, Hank. Yeah. That's an angry stare. I love it. And since you're still standing, why don't you get that cheap coat off my furniture and let Adler show you to the door? Because if I have to tell you to get the fuck out of my house again, you will do so in the back of a squad car. My driver will return you to wherever it is that you came from.
Let's go, Hank.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for the scotch, Leo.
Oh, of course. Now it makes sense. Two pains in my ass. You tell Irwin Fogelman I said to take a dive off an overpass, and it doesn't matter which one. Don't go making waves, Hank. Not in this water. It'll be better for you if I don't remember you after today. Close the goddamn door, Adler.
Was that your plan? To get hot under the collar and insult the man in his own home?
Don't you lecture me.
You have any idea what's
going on? It's called instruction. He knows something, all right?
You are delusional.
I've been called worse. Just get me the hell back to my office. And don't think for a second.
Excuse me. Frank, right?
Mm-hmm. What can I get for you?
Just the water for now. Slow night?
Yeah, it's all right.
Thanks. Fish in the back. He's expecting me.
Yep. Should be.
Keep the change.
It's cool, man. Water's free.
I know.
Thanks.
What is it? Oh, hell no.
Don't. This time I brought mine too. Now show me your hands so I can put this away.
Man, what are you doing back here? Didn't I answer all your questions already?
You did. I just didn't ask enough.
Well, that's not my problem.
You're right, it's mine. And there are people I need to answer to.
Couldn't get to Shaw, huh?
No, I got to the son of a bitch.
Let me guess. He said there wasn't no party.
No. He said there was a party. And he said you were there.
Me? He's lying.
He says you picked the girls up after they were done.
That's a lie.
It's what he said.
Man, I ain't never been to Beverly Hills or Bel Air, wherever the hell these people are from. You kidding me? I'd be arrested before I got past Western.
Maybe. What do I know? But if there's even a chance that you were the last person to see her before she died, then I gotta report it to the people in charge.
Man, this is some bullshit.
You don't want to lose this club, do you, Fish? It's a nice club.
Goddamn extortion. That's what this is right here. Can't have nothing nice. Can't leave nothing the hell alone. Here. Take that and get your damn proof. Or whatever the hell it is you need to leave me alone.
Virginia Hanley.
Worked a party with her that night. She'll tell you I wasn't nowhere near there.
Virginia.
Are we done here? Hey!
Yeah, yes. We're done. Thank you.
Oh, now you're polite. Why don't you just let me get back to my business? I should shoot this man in the back.
That tough guy, enough of this nonsense. You're not so good at your job, are you? Me? Me, you're looking at me? Why not just come say hello, you son of a bitch? Who you working for, Shaw, huh? You tailing me for Shaw? Roll the window down. Down. Look at me. You want me to smash it in, huh? Look at me.
Nah? Okay, go ahead. Keep it up. Take a good look. Go on. Look. Look. What, you shy all of a sudden? You've been following me since last night. You don't want to get a good long look at my pretty face? Say cheese, you yellow bastard. Now I know what you look like. Take a good look at this. You see it? I see you again, I swear to God I'll use it. Now get out of here, you clown!
Is it, okay, yeah, it is. Excuse me, Miss Virginia Hanley? Hey, no, please wait. Do you have a minute to... Hey, can you slow down now? I just need to... My name's Hank Briggs. Oh my God, it's you.
Sorry, you must have me mistaken.
Cirrus.
Shit.
You're the cigarette girl.
Didn't I already tell you?
Your parents told me you were a friend. Look, hey, I really need your help. I know about Fish. Shaw, you were at the party with her.
Yeah, I was.
Were you together the whole night?
Until around 11 o'clock.
What happened?
She wouldn't get on the bus.
What bus?
The bus. Fish arranges them. They took us to and from the parties with the musicians. They were our lift back to Hollywood. They were always different.
That scar on your arm.
It's nothing.
Did you get that from one of Shaw's?
No.
Why did you leave her that night?
I didn't. Leave her.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say you left her. Why did she choose to stay?
I didn't want to stay. I didn't want her to stay.
Why do you think she stayed?
When I was ready to go, I found her near the kitchen. She'd been crying. So I took her to the ladies' room so she could fix herself up.
Why was she crying?
Shaw's parties can get a little out of hand. A little wild. But she was a good girl. Always was. But he got the wrong idea. Assumed she would want to join him in the pool house.
Who?
They had an argument about it. The argument started days before, but she didn't think that she would see him that night, so...
Who did she have an argument with?
I told her he wasn't worth it. I told her she could stay with me that night. We would get pancakes, and she could stay with me, and... She wanted to finish it. I told her she was being silly. How will you get home? I'll get home, I promise. I made a promise she wouldn't go to the pool house. I made a promise she wouldn't leave with him.
Virginia, who did she promise she wouldn't leave with? Was it Shaw?
No, not Shaw.
Who?
The doctor.
What doctor?
From the papers.
Adler Harrison? What was he doing there?
What do you mean? He was at all of Shaw's parties.
Are you sure?
That's where he first recognized her, as the girl from work. I told her to get on the bus. I made her promise.
Why didn't you go to the police?
He was cleared.
Not immediately.
What? No, he was cleared. They wouldn't have believed me.
They needed to know.
I swear to you that that's where this tape ended. And when I heard it, I scared the dog yelling, "Are you kidding me?" So now we know that Marlene was definitely at the party. And so was Adler, so he lied to Hank. So did he kill her after all? We know that they had an argument that started days before. Perhaps that was the argument that the security guard told the press about. Either way, was he the last person to see her alive? We don't know. But we do know that there's a mysterious pool house. And whatever went on in that pool house, Marlene was not meant to see. Whatever it was. I don't think Hank is going to get another invitation from Leonard Shaw in order to ask.
The Angel of Vine is a podcast produced by Vox Populi on behalf of the Los Angeles Herald.
Thank you for listening to The Angel of Vine. If you'd like to support us, please leave us a review and tell your friends to subscribe. The Angel of Vine is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and all major podcast apps. If you can't wait for the next episode of The Angel of Vine, episodes 8 through 10 are available right now exclusively on Stitcher Premium, as well as Angel of Vine bonus episodes, extended episodes, and ad-free episodes. Go to stitcherpremium.com/angel and use promo code ANGEL to get your first month of Stitcher Premium free. The Angel of Vine is directed by E. Ryan Martz, written by Oliver Vaquer. Story by E. Ryan Martz, Jason Zumwalt, and Oliver Vaquer. Sound design by Joel Robbie and Matt Tamarello. Produced by Vox Populi in association with Forever Dog Podcast Network. This episode's performances by Joe Manganiello, Alfred Molina, Misha Collins, Kari Payton, William Demerit, Courtney Taylor, Cree Summer, and Oliver Vaquer. Angel Eyes is performed by Desi Dennis Dillon. Piano and arrangement by James Harper. Composed by Matt Dennis. Lyrics by Earl Brent.
From downtown Los Angeles, this has been The Angel of Vine. You'll hear more from us soon.
Oh, where is my angel eyes? Excuse me. While I disappear.